you so much for joining me today. This is Hashtag No Limits, and I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, a little science lesson for you today. The caterpillar literally dissolves into cells and then reforms itself into the butterfly. That's not all it has to go through, though. It then has to struggle in the cocoon and to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere it wants to go. And I was given such a wonderful, I can't remember if it was Christmas or Mother's Day gift this year from my daughter. And she said, just when the caterpillar thought its world was over, it emerged into the butterfly. And I think we go through that when we are trying to bust through struggles that society or even ourselves place upon us. And one of those struggles is a lot of parents go through is sleep with newborns and infants and toddlers in the house. And so today I am happy to bring Shani Avadar, and I didn't even ask how to pronounce the last name, so I probably just butchered that, but I did get the first name right, I think. And she's going to talk to us and share with us some tips and strategies on how to have a more peaceful family life when you have little bitty ones in the home. So Shani, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing good.
Good, good. And so go ahead and if you don't mind, give us a bit of an introduction to yourself and what you do.
I'm a certified pediatric sleep coach. I'm also a lactation consultant. I'm the founder of My Little Dreamer, and I have three little ones. And I realized when I was pregnant that we as parents get so much information during the prenatal stage, but nothing really includes sleep. So when I had my firstborn, I didn't know anything about being a parent. I definitely didn't know anything about infant sleep, and I was exhausted. And I did all the mistakes new parents do, and I started researching. And slowly, I learned some tools that helped me teach my child how to become a good sleeper. And I have three kids. They are 1 year apart, so I was literally pregnant for 3 years in a row. So wow. Not only did I want them to sleep, but I needed them to sleep physically and mentally. So yes. I just dived in and I learned as many tools as I could. And I ended up getting certified. If you don't know, the sleep training industry is a non-regulated one. So that means that basically anyone could say that they are a sleep trainer, but I wanted to get certified and make it official. So by the time I had my third child, I was a sleep pro, and I felt like I wanted to teach other parents and to educate other expecting moms about infant sleep, because you basically, as a mom, you carry your child for 40 weeks and you start your parenting journey when you're already exhausted. So not only you are sleep deprived, but you don't have energy to take care of your child. And in my world, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think so true. I was only blessed with one child, and she was not a good sleeper through the night. So it was, I think she was about she was over a year before she was putting in more than a few hours at a time in her sleep. So I wished I would have found you sooner. So tell me, you hinted about it, and I need to pause for a second, because one of the things I always forget to do, not always, but most of the time forget to do, is to give that little, okay, if you're watching us live or in the replay, give us a hashtag live and let us know where you're watching from. So Fran from Southern Illinois, thank you for joining us today. And if you have any other comments, just like I did with Fran's, please put them in the chat and I will be sure to pop them up on the screen, and Shani or myself will address those. So sorry about that little piece of business. So when you mentioned in your intro that it's a non-regulated field, and then you said you wanted to have that certification, what sort of training, how long did it take? Is it like a degree, or what, you know, where did you get that certification?
So I started looking into sleep and I realized that there are a few different methods. And I think sleep training really got bad reputation, mainly because of the cried out method. And when I read about it and I saw the Ferber table that everyone is pretty much familiar with, I kind of like, this is not what I want to do. And I am not even able to let my baby just cry it out in their crib. And then I came across the baby-led sleep approach. And that talks about, it's a holistic approach to sleep training. It talks about the bond between the parents and their child. It talks about how sleep is a skill. And basically, you need to teach your child healthy sleep habits from the start. And that entails schedules and nutrition and a lot of psychological tools. And I'm a huge believer in communication, and especially having three boys, I would love to teach them communication skills. So when I realized that when I'm teaching them the skill of sleep, I'm also teaching them how to be good communicators, it was in perfect alignment with my parenting style. So I decided to register to that certification. It's about a 6-month process. You take it online. And what I liked about it is that the creator of the certificate incorporated so many fields into the certification and interviewed a lot of professionals in the baby industry. And I kind of like learned a lot about babies and how they think, how they develop. And especially as a new mom, he taught me a lot. And especially when I implemented the tools and I saw that they work, it was amazing to me. And my kids are now 2.5, 3.5, and 5, and they're amazing sleepers. And when I hear the horror stories from parents, not only do I really want to help them, but at the end of the day, we talk about sleep, but we really want to make sure that we prioritize ourselves as individuals, but also our time with our spouse, and that we take care of ourselves, because if we don't take care of ourselves, we really can't take care of others. And to me, sleep is a tool of doing that.
Yeah, and that is so true. I have done a podcast with Fran, who is watching today, and we have talked about that often, that you cannot fill from an empty cup. And we, as new moms especially, tend to try to do that all the time because we just think, you know, well, I'll take care of me later. But we do need to be taking care of ourselves. Not as much maybe, but we have to take care of ourselves occasionally, you know, at a minimum amount at least, so that we can help those around us. So thank you for giving that description of how your certification came to be in the process that was involved. A lot of the people that join as the audience are parents of children who are not neurotypically developing. Does this program that you have work for most children, no matter what way they are developing?
Yes, it works for all children, because even with every couple that I work with, I tell them, these are the tools that I'm suggesting. You know your child the best, and you know your parenting style the best. Tell me if this is something you don't think is going to work for you or your child, and we can find an alternative. And there are specific tools that are that work better for specific kids, and we incorporate them depends on the kids. And that's what I like about it. When I work with a family, I start with onboarding them, and I provide them a very detailed intake form that I ask them to fill out, because I want to feel like I live in their home with them. I want to learn about their sleep environment and their daily lives and how the kid sleeps, and whether they get supplements, whether they're on medications, or everything that I can know about the family and the child. Helps me create a personalized sleep plan and nutrition and psychology. We work together to create and implement the plan.
Okay, that's awesome. So that's very important to me, to be very individualized. As a former special education teacher, that was the main part of my job, was individualizing the education for the students that came to me in order to meet their unique needs. And it sounds like this program is set up very similarly, because you are looking at the unique, not necessarily needs, but the unique design of each family. Right. And right. each family's ability to be able to carry out certain things or do certain things. And it sounded, so please correct me if I interpreted this incorrectly, that you try to work within what the family is already doing rather than necessarily coming in and saying, we're going to make some radical changes to your whole life, and here's what they are.
Now we're going to implement, I'm going to teach you as a parent what will work for your child to become a better sleeper. That's why I like to start as early as possible. Even when you're pregnant, it's amazing if you come to me and we talk about how to start from day one. And then we implement it. And if I have parents who want to co-sleep, great, we'll work with that. If we have parents that don't have enough space at home, we work with that. It's like when a client asks me for a stroller recommendation. I don't have a one recommendation for everyone. It starts with a conversation. Where do you live? What's your daily life look like? What's your parenting style? Do you like walking with your child? Do you like driving with your child? It's a very individual recommendation. And if it goes for a product, it goes for a sleep plan, and basically for everything, because we're all unique. And we're all individuals that have different desires and needs.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And again, this sounds like a very comprehensive program, system, that process, I think, is actually the word that I'm looking for, because of all the questions that you ask. And so yeah. What is the like time frame from somebody says, okay, I'm going to call Shawnee. And then kind of walk us through the next steps and how everything progresses.
So when I get a new client, we start, first of all, with a 15-minute complimentary discovery call where I ask about what the parents are struggling with and why they actually are reaching out to me. And then I offer a few packages. One is basically just for newborns, for expecting moms and new moms. I'd like to educate from the start. And another one I have for every question parents have, they can contact me, we can sit down and they can ask me questions. I then have two different packages where I provide individual personalized sleep plan, and those differ on the amount of support. So some parents really like my guidance 24/7 for a long period of time. And other parents, they say, well, we need a limited support and that's fine for us. So I provide them the plan and then they can reach out to me for a limited time. And that really depends on the personality of the family.
Okay. And so when you're working with these families, I know you said you have a 5 or 5.5-year-old. And so you haven't been doing this for a whole long time. Does this program, I know you said it's best the earlier you can start, but what if I am somebody who has a 5-year-old or maybe even a 10-year-old who isn't doing well with the skill? I really appreciate that you called that a skill, and I do want to come back to that. But what happened? Do you know, does the program, can you apply the principles at older ages?
Well, I work mainly with ages 0 to 6. We can implement improvements even when they're toddlers, when they're 4 and 5. It just takes a little bit more time versus if you start at 3, 4 months. Because, like I said, it's a skill. Kids need consistency. They need repetitions, because when they know what to expect, it calms them down and then they adapt more quickly to the program.
Okay. So could you, and Fran kind of, Fran jokingly asks, what about an adult?
Not my expertise.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking, like, because there are so many people who have sleep difficulties. And so, as I mentioned, I wanted to get back to the fact that you called sleeping a skill. Can you elaborate on that, and how do you teach? And of course, I don't want you to give away your business here. I don't want you to, you know, but if you can kind of tell us what that looks like as far as developing that skill, that I think will be very eye-opening to everyone.
So I briefly mentioned that kids thrive on predictability. So when you create the sleep environment that is safe and calming, when you create the routines, when you talk to them, and that's where the psychology comes into place, when you explain to them about what their day is going to look like, what their meals are going to look like, what their night is going to look like, you kind of like teach them what to expect. And then they don't experience the separation anxiety, and then they don't want to avoid bedtime. And you kind of like skip all the challenges that people experience in toddler years. Because I do want to mention that in the first 16 to 18 months, there are so many developmental milestones that sometimes I have clients that come to me. It's not their fault. It's just lack of education, because social media and pediatricians create that illusion that your child should sleep through the night when they're 4 months. And in reality, that's not true. And most babies won't sleep through the night at 4 months just because they still do need to eat during the night. There are so many developmental changes like teething and brain development and crawling, and it's just not realistic. So when a mom comes to me and she says, well, my child is 5 months, and she says, but he's not sleeping through the night, what am I doing wrong? And that's when shame comes into place. So that's why when I speak to an expecting mom or a new mom and tell her, in reality, your child most likely will sleep through the night when they're 9 months. So I manage expectations and I avoid the shame that the mom feels. Because many, many of us in life, when we struggle in situations, either we say, okay, let me suffer through it, or we say, what are the options that are out there that I can, ask professionals, how can I bring knowledge into my life to solve the situation? So it's really depends on the lack of education and the personal experience, because some moms just feel so ashamed that they don't want to reach out, and they feel like they're doing something wrong. And I don't want any mom to feel that way.
Yeah, I appreciate so much that you said that, because I think society, and when I say society, I mean, just kind of at large, no direct conversations necessarily, although I know they do happen. But yeah, like you said, the social media, the movies, the television shows, the magazines, everything is fine. And, my baby's doing this by age 4. And not only all of that, but the norms. And what people forget is when you have a norm or you have an average, the majority, a large population, fall into that average, but you still have your outliers that make up that average. And so just because your child is doing it differently doesn't mean that there is something wrong or that your parenting is wrong, but you're just outside that large population. And so you're different. And we've done a really poor job of making different seem bad or wrong.
Right.
And it's not. It's just different. Like I said, in order to have that range, that average or that norm, you got to have people that are higher and lower on the scale.
And you have to have people that are authentic and be honest with where they're at with regards to sleep, because your friend may tell you that her child sleeps through the night when they're 5 or 6 months. And that may be the case, but it might not. And it really doesn't matter because each child is unique and has different needs and different ways of sleeping. And, you know, as part of the certification that I took, I also took a certification for, as I'm a lactation consultant. I'm passionate about sleep, but I also wanted to be able to support breastfeeding moms. And we can say the same as far as breastfeeding. There is a lot of pressure on moms to breastfeed nowadays, and not everyone can and not everyone wants, but you know, it's okay to give it a try. It's okay to not even give it a try and decide what works for you.
Right. Exactly. And again, that's those limits that we're busting through because, and sometimes I think they're self-imposed based on, you know, well, I think my friends are doing this. Even if my friends haven't told me, I just think that's what they're expecting of me. And so Right. We self-impose limits and we need to be able to capture those kind of thoughts and think about, well, is this really true? How do I know that this is happening? And really challenge ourselves in all of our thinking, but in this particular area. And it's so difficult when you're tired and
Right.
like that lowers your defenses and your ability to think rationally.
And that's why I think it's so important to reach out to professionals in any area, because sometimes you need someone, an outsider with the right skills to help you look at a situation from a different angle.
Yes. And there are, I think, experts in pretty much all areas anymore that someone has decided, I'm really interested in this area and I'm going to research and study and learn about and find strategies and all the things. And so speaking to that, how many that you are aware of are sleep? I'm sorry, I forgot your title, sleep helpers. And lactation specialist, I get, but I guess sleep specialist. Do you know, like, worldwide, how many people could claim that?
I don't know how many there are out there, but not everyone also are certified, and not everyone has the same approach to sleep training. I know in some countries it's more popular than others, and that's like in any field. So, right. It's just, I think it's, I, as part as my practice, I'm also trying to raise awareness because I know that not everybody knows that this profession even exists. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so important to say, well, this is another resource that you have as part of your prenatal postpartum journey that you can incorporate into your education.
Right. And when you work with clients, do you have to be in their home with them or how do you work with them?
No, everything is done virtually. That's why I have clients worldwide. And we basically, everything is done via Zoom. So we can, or on the phone, depends on the parent's preference. And I just send them the plan. We talk for a while and they can reach out to me. Luckily now with technology, we don't even have to be in the same room to make it happen.
Right, which is incredible, I think. So so we talked before about the, you know, like you have a 15 to 20 minute intake call with them and then they have the opportunity to, you know, hire you for further services. So I'm putting up right now across the bottom of the screen, and it looks a mess. Let me see if I can fix that first. But what I was putting up was all of the ways that they can contact you through social media. Of those ways, do you have a preference or do you prefer that they go to your website? What is your preferred way for people to reach out to you?
Well, my website has all my social media links, but I think the best way, and it also has my phone number and email. So either via the website when you fill out a contact form or you just call me, text me, whatever works for you. You know, we all have busy lives and I'm just available in all type of communications.
Okay. And so I did put up your website right now, and it is mylittledreamer.coach. So just the spelled words out, mylittledreamer.coach. I'm going to try to put up your social media again, and hopefully it's not, it still feels like it's all jumbled. It seems like it's all kind of botching together there. So I'm going to take that off because I don't really think that. So what I'm going to try to do instead is put it into the chat box so that anyone who is watching in live or in the replay will be able to catch that information. So can you walk me through, like, pretend I'm a client and, you know, just obviously we're not going to do the full scale, but just some of the questions, and you kind of hinted at them a minute ago, but just like I've called you up and I've said, okay, you know, and what I'm going to try to do is remember when I was in that phase with my daughter and give you the honest answers of what it was like for me at that time.
So the 15-minute discovery call is basically for me to learn just about how old your child is and what you're struggling with. And then I want to share my process with you and to make sure that you have looked at my website and have seen my approach. Because, you know, some parents maybe would like to let their kids cry it out in their crib, and that's not something I can do and work with. So that's what I do. And then I tell them about my intake form. That basically a form that I send via Google form, and it includes everything about the family, whether it's the parents' occupation, what time they go to sleep, what time they come home, everything, what supplements they take. And then we continue to the child, how the birth looked like. Some symptoms of, you know, difficult birth can cause sleep difficulties. So I want to know about the birth experience, what supplements the baby takes. Maybe they have tongue tie, maybe they have other needs. So I really want to feel like I live with them. And then I also have two forms. One is a feeding form and one is sleep log. So for 3 days, I ask the parents to fill out how many naps, exactly what time the baby got up, exactly what time the child went to sleep, what the child ate, what time it was the last feeding, everything to the details for 3 days. And then I get all the information back. I analyze it and I create a personalized sleep plan. Then we schedule a coaching session. Depends on the package. The first one is always an hour. And then I go through everything. I tell parents, don't take any notes. I'll send you a summary of our conversation. I'll send you a recording if you want to refer back to it. I send them articles and sleep schedules, everything they need to do going forward. And then depends on the package. Then we have support and we schedule more calls or just emails, communication. And within 2-3 days, there is always an improvement.
Wow. That's incredible. I would like for you, sorry, did I interrupt you? Were you finished? I'm sorry. Okay. I would like you to talk more. You mentioned that sometimes during delivery, some of the things that happen during utero and delivery could affect the sleep. Could you talk about a few of those? I've not heard that before.
Yeah, so there is research that shows that if you're having, you know, a normal vaginal delivery, there might be nothing. But if you're having a long, difficulty vaginal experience, something happens, you have to go into C-section, maybe there is more complications that might affect the baby because you don't know what's going on to the baby when they're inside your womb. And they maybe traumatizes them. So sometimes we have to take that into consideration. Also, kids mirror their parents, especially mom. So if mom went through a traumatic experience and now she is either she has postpartum depression, maybe she's just anxious, maybe she's tired and she has no patience. And that's the mood that she goes into when she's trying to put the baby down for a nap or for nighttime. There is no way the baby is going to fall asleep. Because he will mirror the mom, he will sense the anxiety, the mood, and that will interfere with their sleep.
Okay, very interesting. So I was able to pull up the website and go to the go to your packages, which you were talking about a few minutes ago, and you have them all beautifully. I love all the infants on here listed out as to what each one takes into account as each of the different packages. And then you also have your approach. And I appreciate that you put all of it out there. And I heard you say in the intake session that you make sure that the people have gone to your website and they've looked at your approach to you know, have an idea before they even really talk to you, whether or not your approach may work with them. And then, of course, testimonials and contact page and buying a gift card. Can people buy this for other people?
You can. I think this is an amazing gift for a baby shower or for any new mom, expecting mom out there. Give the gift of sleep. So you can either buy a specific package or you just can contribute to a package and then mom can add. And I think that's the most beneficial product you can actually give a new mom.
That is an incredible idea. I absolutely adore that idea. That is not something that I would have thought of, but I absolutely think you're right. That is, yeah, because so many moms, we mentioned it, they're tired. And, you know, for some moms, just the birthing process, and then they send them home and the mom hasn't had a chance to recover. And especially, you know, if we have a really young mom or a single mom, and they don't have that support system built in that can help them. This is just absolutely amazing. And I know some organizations that do baby showers. And I think I'm going to have to give some of these gift cards to those organizations to try to help that new mom get that sleep, because it's from, I'm kind of a behavioral nerd, I guess. I don't have any letters behind my name as far as certifications of a behavioral specialist or cognitive behavioral therapist or anything of that nature, technician, but I've studied behaviors a lot and really enjoy learning about them. And we do all kinds of things poorly when we're tired.
I think also parenting is the most important job, and it's the actual only job that you really don't get a certification for, because you're expected to parent without even knowing what you're supposed to be doing. And it's hard. Imagine with one child, but then what happens when you have multiples and you have multiple schedules? And it's hard. And I speak from experience, because I had to deal with three babies.
Right.
So yeah. It's hard. And not everybody can afford help. And nowadays, most people move and they don't live near their families. So either they need to find friends to help them or they need to hire help. And that's also hard. You don't always trust the help that you have. And I think it's just important to know what to do to boost your confidence as a parent.
Yeah, absolutely. So something, I mean, we've been talking about the sleep part of it and how you interact with the mom and the setting. And you did mention nutrition before. When you're working, I mean, the idea here is to get the baby to sleep with the hope then with, you know, that is the catalyst for mom to get better sleep. Are you also giving direct help to the mom as far as what she could possibly be doing to help herself get better sleep once the baby's sleeping, but she's still not sleeping very well?
Yeah. So I do talk about self-care. When I, you know, educate new moms, expecting mom, I say how important it is to prioritize yourself, but also nutrition wise, because let's start with either breastfeeding or formula fed babies. If you are breastfeeding, it's really important that you pay attention to what you're nourishing yourself, because you really have to eat very healthy, because that's what your baby's feeding. But if you choose to give formula to your baby, that also you need to read the labels and see the ingredients on the formula that you're giving. And unfortunately, many of the American formulas, the second or third ingredient is cane sugar. And that basically means you're giving your child cane sugar, and then parents are surprised that their baby is not sleeping. So when I talk to parents, I also ask about, you know, their what type of formula they're giving their children, how mommy's eating. And I have some recommendations regarding formulas because, for example, the European formulas are much more regulated. And not that they are more expensive, they're actually shipped out of a warehouse in Jersey. So I always recommend getting them because also we don't know what we don't know. And nobody told us that if we go to the supermarket and we buy a certain formula, then we're actually giving our child sugar. So we start even, you know, with nutrition from day one. And some of my clients are very health conscious when it comes to them. But then when it comes to their kids, they lose it and they forget everything. But then I tell them, you know, once you start incorporating solids into their diet, after, you know, you've tried each ingredient individually, my preference is just to make a huge pot of chicken soup and include bone broth and put all the vegetables and just blend it. And that way, at least you make sure that they get all the vegetables and protein that they need in one meal. And I give different meal ideas. But once the baby eats, you know, good meal, it also keeps them satiated for longer period of times. And that helps with sleep as well. So there are many different things that we know as adults, but we don't think of when it comes to our children.
Right. That is so true. And I was, when I was pregnant, I was much more conscious about what I ate. I tried to, you know, follow all the recommendations, and I not necessarily was a healthy eater prior. And so I, you know, I really, really focused on that, and I wasn't 100% successful. But when she was born and I was breastfeeding, I still watched, but I don't recall being as careful about what I was intaking. I mean, I avoided alcohol and, you know, some of the bigger things, but as far as my sugar content or my fat content or dyes in foods or, you know, things like that, I don't think I was really paying attention to that as I should have been, maybe.
Yeah, and allergies nowadays are so common, and they're also sleep interrupter. And sometimes breastfeeding moms don't know, but what they're eating affects their baby because their baby has allergies. So it's a circle. And you just have to know all the component of sleep to understand, okay, if my baby is not sleeping and he's crying, what's going on? If they are sick, if they are they have allergy, if they are overtired, you just have to rule out certain situations just to figure out what's going on, because at the beginning, they really can't communicate.
Right. Absolutely. Well, Shani, this has been very enlightening for me, and I've so appreciated all of the information that you have shared. And yeah, Fran, I agree with you. Sleep seems like it should be simple, but it's not.
No.
That's a great comment. So Shani, before we go, I just want to make sure that I've given you every opportunity to share what you've wanted to share.
Yeah. One more thing I'd like to add is I also do corporate speaking because I know what it's like to needing to go back to work after maternity leave, being expected to perform as before. And then you go back, it expects you're sleep deprived. It affects your performance. It affects your performance reviews, your promotions, your salary increase. And then we start talking about gaps between men and women. So I always like to come into any organization and talk about infant and toddler sleep and educating employees and employers, because if employees are not tired, they actually perform better. And, you know, it's a win-win situation for both employers and employees. So I always like to educate about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds phenomenal. And they would find you the same way as anyone else.
Yeah, on my website.
Okay. And I've got it up on the screen again, mylittledreamer.coach. Shawnee, thank you. This has been such a delight. And you have shattered some of my own thinking today. And I love to have that happen, because I feel like the more we know about things, the better off our lives are going to be. And then hopefully we can help other people's lives be better. And yeah, I really do. This concept of the gift certificate for your service for a bridal or a baby shower gift. I'm definitely holding on to that one. And I foresee that you will see my name come through a couple of times as the future goes. So thank you so much. Thank you, Fran, for joining us today, and anyone else who has joined us and commented. Next week, there will not be a hashtag No Limits, but we will be back the following week. So be sure to tune in. Make sure you like and subscribe to this channel so you never miss an episode. And remember, we are all getting better one person at a time. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelley Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelley Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelley Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shelleykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shelleykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.